Hello. Hello, everybody, and
Yo.
welcome back to another episode. My name is Lewis,
And I'm Caleb.
and this is the Sidecar Coffee Podcast. We're back in the flesh. It's been a minute.
In the flesh. Yeah, it's
Speak.
been a second. Where we been?
We've been up, down, and around. I've
Side to
been
side, some would say.
finishing up my indoor track season. It's officially over. I'm officially. I will never have an indoor track meet ever again, which is kind of crazy.
And he PR'd.
I did
Tell
PR
him
in my
about it.
meet. I PR'd in my meet. I ran 155.56 in the 800, which is a personal best for me ever. I also scored in our 4x4 and our DMR team. So I had a really, really awesome meet. I was really lucky to get the chance to compete. So, yeah, made a lot of really awesome memories doing that. Also, within doing that, this past weekend went up to St. Louis, visited the favorite cafe, Comet Coffee, was able to go to St. Louis Coffee Fest, which was 2 weeks ago, which was pretty sick as well. So met a lot of cool coffee people, hung out with Thomas. Shout out Thomas.
Tombo.
If you guys don't know, Thomas is brewing on Instagram. I think actually he changed his name to
It's
Thomas just
Thomas.Kurt.
Kurt. CRUDT.
CURDT. Yeah.
I don't know. It's on. I have a shared post with Thomas. So Louis
Oh,
Primo on
yeah.
Instagram. We made a cupping video. Check it out. It's also with Comet Coffee as well. Anyway, that's what I've been up to. Caleb, what have you been up to?
Just work. Work and more work.
On that
Yeah, no.
grind.
That's it. Yeah, just been working at Suited, getting some things going there. Projects are coming together, which is nice. So,
That's what we love to see, though. And him just saying, oh, just work at Suited. It's like working on the best coffee equipment with the best coffees that you can get with some of the coolest
little bit.
people.
Yeah, September sent over some samples, and those were
Yeah.
fire. It's
Yeah.
crazy too,
Caleb
like
was.
you know a roaster's like really good when the samples like just right out the box are some of the best coffees you've tasted all year. It's like, all right, this is silly.
It's so cool. Caleb was telling me earlier this week, he's like, it's wild being a multi-roaster and like roasteries will just send you coffee for free.
For
Which
free.
obviously it with the intention of you buying it to serve it, but at the
Yeah,
end of the day,
though I'm not
you're still getting really delicious samples of coffee
Delicioso.
for free. And I honestly just having the opportunity as a multi-roaster to try a bunch of different coffees is dope. And so, yeah,
Yeah.
since it's been so long, Caleb, let's remind him what a sidecar is.
Ooh. Yeah. Sidecar, double beverage, beverage with two beverages. It's a nice little treat you get. So we got a small 6 ounce is what we typically do. Milk beverage with espresso, and that same espresso used within the milk beverage served on the side to taste the difference and how milk affects and complements espresso. I like to say complements now. I think saying effect, it's like it could have a negative impact on it, but on this podcast, we're pro milk, okay?
Well, it depends on the car. I think it's always fun to taste it, but yeah,
Pro
I guess
milk.
depending on the coffee.
Pro milk.
Anyway, yeah, so we're drinking. I think we'll always have cortados. I believe we have the same cups for this. So yeah, we always
Yeah.
drink cortados, but you can do caps, you can do flat watts, you can
Flat
do
white, mate.
lattes. But yeah, so today we're both drinking Say coffees. So that's something special we got. Doing this long distance relationship, we always don't really get to try the same coffees. But yeah, in this episode, we're both drinking coffees from the same roaster. They are not the same coffee, however, but at least they're from the same roaster. So
Yeah.
today I'm drinking a Wilson Alba. It's a pink Bourbon washed Sierra Morena, Third Harvest from Colombia. Yeah, I've had three of Wilson Alba's coffees before. All of them have been fantastic. It's pink Bourbon season, ladies and gentlemen.
It is.
They are Urware and they are delicious. They're taking over. And this
They're
shot,
literally everywhere right now.
yeah, this shot pulled fantastic. 18 in, 38 out in 24 seconds. I did 15 seconds at six bars, went up. I think I peaked around like eight, up until around probably 20 seconds, and then I went back down to finish the shot on four bars of pressure. So we didn't really peak too high, which I've kind of found that I like. But anyway, we'll get into a little
Yeah.
bit of pressure and what our preferences
Never
with
peak too
espresso.
high.
Yeah, never peak too high.
Yeah. Never peak too high. Yeah. I'm drinking from Hector Hernandez, La Cumbre Farm in Colombia. It's a wash geisha. I posted this on my story the other day. This is the most mango coffee I've ever had. It's also the most like consistently like you get the same notes every time. Most consistent coffee I've had. It's been very easy to brew. I find Say coffee is a little tricky. It's tricky to rock a rhyme
Yeah.
with Say. But yeah, we'll cover that in this episode. But yeah, no, I'm just getting lots of mango. It's like a almost like the mango juice that you can buy at the store, the little cans. What's that
Mango
brand?
nectar or
Humex?
whatever.
It's like Humex is the brand. I don't
Yeah, it's
know.
the blue canes, blue canes.
Yeah, that's what I get. I've done this on filter as well, with V60 and the hoop, which is a fun little
Oop.
time. And the
Oop,
hoop,
there it is.
it was stunning. It was brilliant. But yeah,
Yeah, off my
mango.
coffee, I'm getting some nice pomegranate, really pink. It's got some
No
a
more
little bit of
pomegranate.
a little bit of acidity, but it's a lot more sweet actually. And it kind of goes in. It's almost like a nectar quality or like a honey, how it kind of coats your mouth. I think that's a lot of says. Honestly, I want to say like that's what you're aiming for. With say on
Yeah.
espresso is that like kind of like nectary sweet, but still you get like the brightness of a say coffee. I feel like they all kind of have that similar, and you have way more experience with say coffees than I do, but I think for the most part they all run through. Obviously the coffees taste different, but I think the profile kind of shares the same characteristics and how you
Yeah.
taste it, I feel like.
Agree. I think there's like a specific I always describe it as like a zing that say coffees have. Like when you're locked in and it's dialed in, there's just a really nice, refreshing acidity, and it just has this like it's gonna sound weird, but like the sparkle to it. Like there is just like you just know when you're dialed in with say, because it's just like boom, that's the best. One of the best coffees you've ever had. You know, they take any coffee and just make it incredible. So,
I
yeah,
mean,
there's just like a
say
zing.
is yeah,
Bam.
say is huge for bing bop boom. Say is huge. If you guys have never heard of say or ordered from say, I would say absolutely anything you
I
order
would
off their
say,
website.
what the say? Say what?
Aha. Anyway, any coffee off their website would be fantastic. But yeah, shoot them out, give them a try. There's just a little
Shoot them
shop in
out.
Brooklyn.
Let's go for that milk drink, yeah.
My art was pretty good.
I ran out of milk, so Lily, I hope you're not listening. I had to use some of your lactaid 2% milk. Boo. I'm just kidding.
Boo.
Shout out all the lactose intolerant homies out there.
Real.
It's okay.
Just
I'm
because
so
milk
used to whole
doesn't
milk.
like you doesn't mean we don't. Anyway, mine's pretty good. I split my shot, so it's not gonna be as strong, but it has that nice. It's like a black cherry sweetness. It's milk chocolatey. It's kind of toffee-like, and you still kind of get that same like honey, florality, nectar likeness. Really good. I'm starting to get over caffeinated, if you can't tell. I'll start slurring my words.
I got I don't know. It's very honey like, but I'm blaming it on the milk.
Praline.
I
Sorry,
don't like
I had
it.
to call that. You don't like yours in milk?
No, it's just not good. I don't like the milk.
Oh.
Yeah, that's just
As we said
I think
earlier,
it's
Sidecar is pro milk.
yeah, pro milk,
Real
but not
milk.
yeah, pro actual milk, the milky kind.
One of these times we'll both have to make like a oat milk cortado and see.
No, we won't. No, we won't.
Sidecar milk episode.
No, we won't. I'm pro dairy alternatives, if you need it, but if you cannot, I just think with coffee, whole milk, like the fats, the acids, the proteins, everything within milk just complements espresso and coffee. So
I want to try. There's like a, I think it's Mexican, but it could just be a part of. I watched this video, and it's like they take coffee, and immediately put like a cow's udder in a coffee mug, and just like,
and just squeeze just straight from the
and
udder
just
milk.
excrete. Yes, literally straight from the udder milk into the coffee, and they drink it. And I want to try
That'd be cool.
that. Anyway,
Anyways, yeah.
speaking. Us talking
Fun
about
fact.
espresso and our preferences, what we pulled, how we pull it, putting it in milk. In this episode, we figured it was finally time for us to cover espresso and our take, Sidecar's take on espresso.
Sure.
This isn't the espresso Bible. This isn't the
Nope.
espresso Atlas. You will not.
Nope.
We're not saying this is straight facts. We're saying this is what Sidecar
Never is
does.
here.
Real talk. This is not the place for that. This is Sidecar's take.
We will not spew false information. However, we will just stick to what we know and what we feel is right in terms of not making this prescriptive. It's just descriptive. Facts.
We're
It's
not
we're not telling you what
pharmacists.
to do, how to do it. We're just saying how we've done it, our experiences with espresso. We worked in the industry for a bit, and
We've
yeah,
tasted a lot
so
of espresso.
lots of espresso.
We're not the best,
Yeah,
but
so we will start off with just kind of defining espresso at the start, just kind of for those who really don't know what it is. It is, contrary to popular belief, it is not a type of bean. It is not a type of roast. There are roast profiles, but it's not a specific roast. There's not a one roast for espresso. There's different ways for different coffees, which we probably won't get into that. That's a roasting thing. We're both not really
it's this is a
big
rabbit
time
hole.
roasters.
This is a rabbit
And
hole in just talking about espresso, so we're not going to dive
yeah.
down a bunch of different rabbit holes. We're just going to try to like skim the surface
Just skim.
the
We're skimming.
surface
And
of
then
this one.
it's also not some
Oh my
sort
God,
of
I almost
like
had a heart
brand.
attack.
Yeah, it's not some sort of brand. It's not like you have to buy one coffee to make espresso, or it's not true espresso. Like that's not what it is. Hit him with what it is, though, Lewis.
All right, so we defined it as a 2 ounce concentrated coffee beverage prepared by forcing water through finely ground coffee of ranging doses. Sorry, I'm
Oh,
dyslexic.
hey.
I'm dyslexic, so reading is a little hard. I
Everything
genuinely,
is upside down.
everything is upside down. And so yeah, that's our definition. It is a concentrated coffee beverage, pulled at ranging pressures. You can get that pretty much, I would say, majority of places will pull at 9 bars. Once you get, I would say shops wise, yes, unless they own a Strata or a Slayer. I don't know. I would say those are the two most
Yeah.
commercialized machines that you can have pressure profiling with. And so, and that just kind of gets into how nerdy you want to be when you walk into a place like, and honestly, I don't even know if you would get turned down by asking a barista, "Hey, do you guys pull at different pressures?" I mean, that might be a fun conversation to have, honestly. But
I
I
think
guess
if they
that's,
know it, like that's a plus. That's
yeah,
points,
that's
extra
points.
points.
So starting into that, I guess let's first brush upon what the majority of people go about enjoying espresso is at a cafe. So talking about cafe espresso. So you go into a cafe, you order a shot of espresso. What do you expect? Well, one, some ca this is the annoying thing about espresso, right? So espresso was made, it originated in Italy, and it originated in smaller doses. Throughout the years, we've upped this dose with commercialized coffee, we've upped this dose, and then I think Starbucks has kind of done its own thing with dosing espresso out within drinks. I would say for the majority of specialty coffee shops, we serve double shots of espresso. So traditionally, that would be 2 shots of espresso. So if you go into a specialty coffee shop and you order, "Can I please have a shot of espresso?" they're going to give you a double shot. Honestly, thumbs down if they're like, do you want a single or double? Because that's confusing. Just have double.
No,
No one wants, no one
yeah.
wants the, I would
It
say
is.
no one wants just a single shot.
It has become way too common for you to not serve just a double. Like if someone comes in and is like, I just want an espresso, cool, 2 ounce beverage, double
Yeah,
shot creates that.
let's
So
not make it complicated.
I'm not
Also,
gonna the
yeah,
let's see, the
so
only time I think would be like if they're like, I want extra shots. That's where things have kind of gotten confusing and why some cafes offer, do you want a single or a double? And then you have the cafes that are trying to be Italian cafes that do like the single spout, lower doses, all kinds of stuff like that. But double shot, just give it to me in a cafe.
I agree. And yeah, getting into that, that's why I mentioned Starbucks. I think Starbucks has really normalized caring about how many shots are in your coffee. To be honest, you're not really going to know a difference between a double shot and a triple shot. Obviously, a quad shot is a crap ton of coffee.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, just get a smaller concentration. If you really want to get a kick, order a cortado, order a cappuccino, normalize getting 8 ounce lattes. Like, you're getting a double shot because you're getting a double shot, or you're asking for a quad shot because you're getting 16 ounce latte. It's like, just lower your constant. Not a lot of people
Yeah.
understand.
Something I think to understand when it comes to caffeine intake within a cafe is understanding caffeine by volume. A double shot of espresso and like a 12-ounce drip coffee, you're going to have about the same caffeine.
Pour
Yeah.
over.
Or maybe
Pour
6
over an
ounce.
espresso.
Pour over an espresso, not drip. Sorry.
Yes.
But going to have about the
Roughly,
same, roughly.
roughly. James Hoffman made a great video about this, explaining this.
Yup.
About he goes around a bunch of cafes and analyzes the caffeine percentage in each beverage. I want to say on average, it was probably around 140 for a shot of espresso, and maybe even slightly higher for pour overs, just because you're getting a little bit more control, I want to say. But again, I haven't really watched that video in a while. If you're really interested in that, and this is kind
Go
of like,
watch it.
oh, that's kind of interesting, go watch James Hoffman talk about that. It's really, really interesting. But
So
yeah.
whenever you order a latte, though, you're gonna have just more milk, and that caffeine content then gets dispersed through more ounces of liquid. So ordering a cortado or a flat white, you're gonna take down that milk content, and it's just gonna be a nice little small beverage.
Word, speaking facts, brother. And yeah, so me, I think the espresso has been a lot more common on my ordering, what I look for in a cafe. I think for a long time, when I was first getting into coffee, I was like, oh, I'm gonna get a pour over. Like, I want to try their pour overs. I think pour overs kind of suck because most cafes don't have them kind of set up in their flow. And so whenever you order a pour over, you're going to take a barista and they're going to have to only focus on your drink for the next 4 minutes, which really sucks. And so ordering a shot of espresso, you're not taking them anywhere. They're staying in their flow. And it's a little bit better. So I think when I
Yeah,
go
it's
to a
also.
store, most
Yeah,
of the
no, keep
times
going.
I'm just ordering batch brew or espresso, and
Yeah.
it's really picked up. And so I've looked for a lot of awesome, really cool, dope cafes will offer single origin espresso or just something alternate. So going into a cafe, they will have an espresso blend. And so talking about coffees, this is a blend of two different coffees that the roastery has made to go with like majority of drinks that they make. This coffee will go with everything and make majority of people happy. It's not
Yeah.
going to be the most mind-blowing, outstanding, wonderful thing in the world, but it's going to go really good with milk. It's going to go really good with their specialty drinks. It's going to go good in majority of things that they make. This blend is centered around making majority of people happy.
Yeah, it's also not gonna like take away from any flavors. So like you put vanilla into it, the vanilla is gonna be tasted over the coffee. You're not it's made to be really smooth, sweet, chocolatey. When we say an espresso blend, it doesn't exactly have to be for espresso. You could buy that espresso blend, go home and brew it on a V60, or you could brew it on your drip coffee maker, like whatever you want. But the roasters have curated this blend to whatever their perception of great tasting espresso is. And
Yes.
then, like Lewis
And
said, it makes people happy.
yeah,
It's a
and
crowd
again,
pleaser.
it's also not a turnoff. If it's some people make fantastic milk blends. I want like Enjoy has a great milk blend.
Yes. Oh my
Little
God.
Wolf has a great milk blend.
Yep.
Middle State, great milk blend. We love Prodigal, great milk blend. I get them all the time. I think it's really nice to have just something that's always going to be solid on espresso that you whenever I have my friends over and they want a latte. I don't have to give them a Wilson Alba Pink
Yeah.
Bourbon in their vanilla latte that I'm going to make for them. So milk blends are awesome. I order them at least once a month to have on my shelf just because I enjoy them and I enjoy tasting them on espresso. It's really interesting to see someone's take on a milk blend. For example, the milk blend we used for our pop-up was from Ilsa. And it was a Mexico and an Ethiopia, and it was fantastic.
It was.
I think I'm trying to remember what Little Wolf's is a Colombia and Ethiopia. It's really good. I think the last time I
Sweet
had Land
Bloom.
Speed, I can't remember what was in it. Yeah. Oh, Sweet
Yeah,
Bloom too.
Sweet
Their
Bloom.
milk blend's
That hometown.
fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, that hometown blend is nuts. There's a lot of great blends out there. Don't be scared of blends. I think blends should actually be something that people use as kind of a gateway into single origin. Really seeing how two origins come together is kind of an ultimate way to learn about an origin. Because, yeah, you can taste one origin, multiple different roast profiles, and you're going to learn a lot about that origin. But seeing how two come together and the flavor profile they create, it's going to make you realize which component is actually creating that flavor profile. But yeah, I think too, with espresso in a cafe, dialing in is a huge thing in ca should be a huge thing in cafes. A lot of the times, milk espresso blends are going to be really forgiving. And what I mean by that is it's these blends are made to where, like, if the shot's like a second off or 2 seconds over, or maybe a few grams are shy of what their target yield is, it's not going to absolutely just taste like garbage. It's still going to be really good. So they have a larger window to play around with when it comes to being in a rush. Because when you're in a rush and you're just shots are running, it's really easy for the machine to, on one side, dispense maybe 36 grams of water, and then on this side it dispenses 45, like you've set it to, and it just happens. Like, things get out of whack as the machine gets used
And it's
more,
honestly,
and the grind size changes. But
it's even a equipment thing. It's like throughout the
yeah.
day, it's gonna get hotter. It's just that's what happens in a cafe is that stuff changes. You don't always have time to absolutely keep everything 100% of the time perfect. And so yeah, milk blends are the best way to keep everything consistent. And also, but at the same time, that's something to look for as a consumer. And you order a shot of espresso, it should be almost perfect. And this is kind of what we're talking about with espresso. It's and why we kind of got into coffee there was because knowing what you're ordering will help you analyze the espresso that you're ordering. And so yeah, a lot of places will offer a single origin. I would say most of the times I'll ask like, "Hey, do you guys have a single origin on right now?" I would say 90% of the time the answer is yes, and so that's what I'm ordering. What I'm looking for here is honestly, I'm just interested to see what their take on this coffee on espresso is. And I think it's a really awesome way to analyze a cafe. So, for example, say, and I think Comet out of St. Louis is one of my favorite places to try really processed coffee on espresso because I think the way that they have their water set up, the way that they have a water set up, and the ratios that they kind of use within their espresso, they take the natural process sweetness you get from the coffee and they highlight that, which I think is fantastic way to do naturals on espresso. I really don't like getting a really processed coffee on espresso and it just being like an acid bomb to my face and like super tart, kind of sour. It can be really unpleasant really fast. And Comet does a fantastic job of highlighting the sweetness while also getting the funk and complexity of the natural. And it's always really good. And for me, what I enjoy in my espressos is that kind of like more concentrated, less I like the smaller ratio shots. So the 1 to 2, the 1 to 2.5,
Yeah.
with the 1 to 3s just get a little too like it's just too much for me. And so I think recently, and when I first got into espresso, I really loved the 60-gram shots. Like I loved the turbo shots. And
Yeah.
now my preference has rotated back to that thicker, that gooey espresso.
I think too, like finding what you like within espresso, because when you're first trying espresso, it's a lot to take on. I think everybody's
That's
had
why
the
you order a
experience.
sidecar.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't like the espresso, it's a little too much. It's toned down in the milk. Just saying. Just saying.
It's a great
Keep
way to get into
eating.
espresso.
Keep
It's a,
eating.
nope. Sidecar canceled.
Sorry, sorry. Okay, so going back. So I think finding what you like within espresso is really, it's the same thing as finding what you like in a pour over. However, with espresso, you're just trying to find what you like in the terms of espresso is a lot at first. It's like, okay, this is really concentrated. This is really bitter. This is like really heavy. Like espresso is rough the first go around. But once you taste more and more, especially from different shops, different roast profiles, you're going to find that when, just like Lewis was saying, he at the beginning really liked those longer shots, now really enjoys ooey gooey traditional espresso ratios. But finding your style of espresso is really going to help. Now, within a cafe, you're not going to have a lot of control over what they're doing behind the bar, but at least you can then go, okay, well, I know at this cafe, their espresso is a 1 to 2, and it's 18 grams, 36 out, and I want it's more concentrated, and so then I want to add milk to it. And then through that, you're going to be able to find, like, should I do light? Am I a light roast espresso fan? And then kind of guides you to brewing it yourself if you go on that journey as well.
I also think it's a great way to spark up a conversation. Like, walk up to the bar, hey, what's your guys' process of dialing an espresso? What do you guys aim for? What do you look for? That's an awesome conversation to have. And I think that's something I always look forward to. I think if you order a shot of espresso most of the time, as especially me as a barista, I'm like, okay, this guy's into coffee. I always just, and I don't know why that's the thing, but I feel like I don't know. Espresso is this thing, and I feel like you have to kind of be a little bit interested in the coffee to get it, or just a badass. And
Or you just
so,
really don't
yeah.
enjoy life and you need to feel something.
But yeah, I think that's an awesome conversation you can have, and that was something that will really kind of help you understand the process a little bit better, especially if you don't have access to an espresso machine.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a whole hobby when you get into the home side of things, which we'll kind of get to later here, but it's a whole nother hobby. So really, like, understanding I'm gonna relate a lot to pour overs, because I feel like a lot of people ask about pour overs more, like, oh, like how many pours do you do? How much coffee do you put in? What's your grind size? People are really quick to ask questions and to spark a conversation around pour overs, because like pour overs have become this, like, I don't even know, like this like ultimate
It's
test for a barista. It's like a
like,
it's
yeah,
like a
the gauntlet.
yeah, I don't know. It's just like you are not a true barista until you can like shoot the stuff about pour overs with somebody while brewing one and it turn out perfect, whatever. I really think espresso is like a huge test to you and your barista skills and your sensory skills as well.
Yeah.
I
So,
think when it, in terms of, I think let's talk to like to our barista people listening to this episode, some tips that we would say for working as a barista, and what are some tips for making espresso better on the cafe side?
yeah, I would say, A, knowing the coffee that you're serving. Also knowing your consumer base, but also at the same time, the better you dial in the coffee, the better it's going to taste, like in any drink. I think me and Caleb definitely learned this. Within our first job was just the difference between trying different shots. Because I think when we both first got into coffee, we would our shift drink majority of the time was some sort of flavored latte.
Yeah,
And
that Turkish bro, it hit.
yeah, I know. And so even just us getting into coffee, getting better at dialing in, like throughout the first couple months of us getting into coffee, we were like, dang, like this latte is a lot, like getting really you can just notice the a dialed in shot, regardless, is going to help you no matter if you're serving just the shot or a 16-ounce latte. Like it's never something to look over. You should always dial in. And I think this is especially make sure that you have enough time to do it. I think as a barista, as a
Yeah.
manager, as an owner, if you don't give your baristas time to dial in your espresso, you want like you're not focused on your coffee enough.
No, I
It's
think you should have an opening system that is really easy and honestly something that should be set up by the closers for opening. Closing and opening kind of go hand in hand. They should help each other out in any restaurant, anything. But when it comes to coffee specifically and having to dial in, if you have one coffee, like just your milk espresso blend, you don't do anything else, 30 minutes. You should give the barista 30 minutes. Maybe 10 of those minutes should be like setting up, maybe like restocking or getting the bar
making sure your
open
hopper's
some way.
full, looking at your
Yeah, little
fridge and
things like
different
that.
stuff like that. But
And honestly, maybe 5 minutes. I really think the other 20, I'd say maybe 20 minutes and then. The other 5 minutes can be spent, finalizing everything, making sure you're ready to open. But 20 minutes, th 30 minutes to open for the entire opening if you just have one. If you have multiple espressos, hour. Especially if you are single dosing. We run an hour at Suited opening. I have worked for cafes, a cafe that we were supposed to be there at the same time that we opened. That is absolutely bananas. And I don't think anyone should ever do that ever. Because dialing in should be a process in which not only are you making sure that you shouldn't rush through it, you have to pay attention to everything, every variable. It's also something that you, through giving your baristas time to play around and dial in, you are investing in their skill set as a barista. They, which leads me to my next point, taste every shot. When you're getting into espresso and dialing in,
Yes,
taste everything.
bro. Holy crap. A
Taste
lot of people
everything.
just pull off time. It's like that's you need to
Time
taste.
does
And this
not
is the
matter.
same thing with developing your palate. Try
Yes.
everything. Even if it's bad,
Try
you
the
know
bad
what bad
stuff.
coffee tastes like. You know, okay. Well, and analyze the bad. Is it over or under?
Why is
You
it
need to
bad?
up dose or down
Exactly.
dose. You need to do a lot of different things.
Yes.
And yeah, I look forward to dialing in as a barista. I
Yeah.
think, and as cafe owners, make sure your baristas are prepared to do this, and definitely have a system set up. You know, what works the best, especially, you know, as a manager, you've tried this coffee a lot. Manager or roaster, it's like you will probably have a good range of what this coffee is going to be
Oh,
best
yeah.
as served.
It'll change day by day,
Help
but like the
your baristas,
parameters.
exactly.
Yeah.
Help your baristas
You should
out.
be like, hey,
Don't have them guessing, oh, should I do 17? Should I do 19? Should I do 19 and a half? Should I do
yeah, 17 and
18.3?
19 is huge. That's such a
It's
huge difference. And
horrible. It's scary, I think, for people that aren't prepared to dial in. And that's a whole separate thing, but
dialing in, yeah, dialing in's a
again,
lot. We won't.
knowing your coffee
Knowing your
as a
coffee.
manager, set up your team for success, and make sure that they know their coffees. Again,
Taste your stuff.
dialing in for a cafe, I think something that I always do is just try to pull the shot that majority of people there are gonna like. You're gonna have like a nice acidity, but not something that has too much bite or that can be overpowering. Definitely highlighting the sweeter notes of the coffee.
Yeah,
And you
this
really
also
can't go
goes
wrong with
in,
that.
Yeah, this also goes into just knowing your palate again, but like you have to set aside your preference. And just like Lewis is saying, dial in the coffee that's appealing to everybody. You have to know your palate and what you prefer. Because I know for me, I prefer really in your face, not really in your face, but like leaning more towards under extraction when it comes to light roast espresso. I really like bright coffees. I like coffees that make me go, wow. I like light roast. I love fruit forward notes and I want it amplified. But I know not everyone likes that. And so whenever I get it to the point that I like, I know that I should probably go a little finer
Yeah, you should
because
see me and Caleb dial in together. It's crazy.
we disagree
And
all the
that's
time.
another point. Dial in with other people.
Yeah.
Make the kitchen staff taste the espresso. You
To
it's
see
a
what's
party.
better.
It's a party. You want to get everybody's opinion on
Dialing
it.
in's a party.
It should be a party, absolutely. But yeah, kind of getting sidetracked a little bit here. As a barista, dialing in coffees, you just want to highlight and make sure that you're getting the best out of this coffee, but also what a majority of people would enjoy of that coffee. And I think that goes for both single origin espresso and blends. I think with single origin, you can kind of mess around with ratios, and shot time and pressures a little bit more. I know something I did at Upshot was I always messed around with the pressure profiling with our single origin,
Yeah, why not?
just because it's fun to pull someone a shot of espresso,
Oh,
especially
yeah.
if someone comes in and orders a shot of espresso. Always ask as like a POS, oh, like, would you want to do our espresso blend, or we have a single origin shot also, and explain the single origin shot, and like getting people to jump out of their comfort zone a little bit and giving them something like that they've never experienced before. And I would pull a little bit more on the side of like turbos, lighter, more acidic, but still really pleasant. And at the time, their summer blend, it was like really, really strawberry, fruity, really, really sweet, like wonderful coffee. It was so good on espresso, and I always really loved giving people that coffee. And also another thing from a cafe side, taste your shots throughout the entire day. So you just spent this whole
Yeah.
time dialing in the morning, and you committed, you did a great job. Throughout the day, you just got through a rush. You got 5 minutes. What should I do here? Pull another shot of espresso and taste it.
Yeah, see where it's at.
Also, this is something that I look for as a customer. I want to see if I order a single origin shot of espresso and I see the barista tasting the espresso, I'm like, hell yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, dude,
I'm
pull.
honestly
Get a
scared.
little dribble.
I'm honestly scared if they just hand me a shot without tasting it. And as I will never be upset at someone who just pour a little bit out and taste it, make sure it's good, and then they serve me. Well, obviously don't drink out of the same cup that I'm drinking out of, but
Don't give me this caffeine intake excuse. I don't care. I don't care.
seriously,
You can't take that much.
well,
If you don't have that dog in you.
a little drink isn't going to do anything, and you're
A
already
little, yeah,
ripped.
just yeah, literally, like so, like it would just be awful. And here, I'll tell this story, and then it's kind of a flex, but it's also not. It's just a story that made me realize a flaw as a barista. So at Suited, we get a lot of cool people come in. The owners of Say come in a lot. My first like week or 2 weeks there, I got to serve Say coffee to Say, the owners of Say. That
No
was the
pressure.
most nerve-wracking experience I've ever had. I was shaking the whole way through. I pulled three shots before I served them, and I tasted each one, and I made sure that it was perfect. This is before I actually figured out like the whole like longer say shot thing, whatever, or had like talked to Manny and kind of really started diving deeper into espresso extraction. So it was maybe it wasn't like the best it could have been, but like it was still good. It was really fruit forward, zingy, like a say shot. And, but that right there, whenever I got back behind the bar after serving them, I like took a second because I was like, wait, like, why do I not put that much intention behind everything?
Yeah.
Because not only be working at a multi-roaster, not only are you representing yourself as a barista and the skill set of you're representing other roasters. You're putting them on your menu. You're saying, hey, like, we're gonna bring you guys on because we like you a lot. It's like, why would you not want other people to like them a lot? And not that I was making bad drinks or serving crap coffee before that or didn't care. It's just I didn't realize, like, yeah, I cared, but there's another level of care when it comes
It's like
to
that thing. All
coffee.
right, everybody, listen right now. Put your arm up in the air. Now lift it higher. Why didn't you give your 100% the first time?
Oh, that's fire. I've
Shut
never heard that.
up,
That's
Garrett.
cool.
But yeah, so
I don't
talking
care.
about this
He's a teacher, bro.
that was pretty much Sidecar's explanation on
Cafe.
cafe espresso. I think for majority of people, that's the espresso that you're drinking. That's the major for more majority of people, that's the espresso that you have access to. So go explore that realm. It's something that I've really enjoyed doing. I know with my time traveling a lot these past 2 years and being able to go to a bunch of different cafes, a shot of espresso is something that I will always order whenever I go into a cafe.
For sure.
And even if it's their milk blend, I just want to try and see their take on it. And even that is a great example of like if your milk blend is dialed in, it's like you're probably a good, like, I don't know. It's like they're
You should
taking
care.
the
Yeah, if you,
intentionality to dial in
yeah.
their milk blend and it be perfect. It's like they care. So anyway, so now diving into.
The home.
We're not gonna, there's so many different routes that you can go here.
There's a lot.
We're gonna talk about
I'm
what we
scared.
specifically do at home with our setups.
Yep.
Because I feel like that's really the only thing that we can do in about 20
Yeah.
minutes. So yeah,
Well, it's also like I think we're not, again, it's like we're not going to prescribe to you what you should be doing at your home for espresso.
And it's different for everybody, you know?
Yeah, we're going to recommend certain practices that we have adopted that have made our espresso better. Doesn't mean it's going to make yours better. I hope it would. I mean, I feel like we're doing things kind of well. But yeah, so everybody take a breather. That was a lot for
We
the
yeah, we
cafe
made it.
side.
We made it
It was a
through. We
lot.
made it through.
We made it through
Now we have
cafes,
the
but
fun part. Now we have the experimental.
the
Now
big
we
fun
have
part.
the stuff that I've been looking forward to a lot. Recently, I think I went home and for 3 days and I didn't have espresso and I came back and I was so excited. I couldn't believe it was that big of a deal for me, but
Yeah.
I've been loving it recently and this past year I've most definitely dived so deep getting my new machine and just it unveiling so much. I think pressure profiling for me in my espresso game has been something that's been so fun getting into. So getting into espresso, I was gifted Caleb's espresso machine. This was a Breville, and I
That'll
had an
beat
Easypresso
up.
hand grinder. That was amazing. Talking about
Yeah.
espresso and setups and stuff, my buddy Tyler has a Flair and an Easypresso hand grinder. That's like a $500 setup. He makes fantastic espresso. So this isn't like a huge money pit. You don't need to go buy a $3,000 espresso machine and an $800 grinder. You don't need all that to make really good espresso. We're talking about our setups here, and just recommendations that we would have for most people at home, and just talking over stuff that we've gone through to hopefully help you in your situation. So, A, I think for me is just trying every coffee that I get on espresso. I think that was awesome for me to do and really learn my preferences, especially with getting like more processy coffees. Like I don't really like processy coffees on espresso. excuse me. But yeah, I think for me also something that considerably stepped up my game was, especially with lighter roasted coffee, was getting puck prep. And I know it's like this big kind of thing,
Yeah.
but it helps a lot.
There are certain things that work. There are certain things that you could go without. But just like, let's also back up. Lewis, your first ever shot that you pulled at home, was it perfect?
Negative.
Was it the best espresso you ever had?
Nope.
What about your second?
Nope.
Number 45? It's probably better.
No,
It's probably all
that one
right.
was spot on. Yeah,
That one's fire.
that one was fine.
That was fire. That was fire. We
46
have it
though
written
wasn't the
down.
best.
Every yeah, 40. Yeah, my 48 was a bummer for me. But like what we're saying here is you can buy a crazy espresso machine, and you could have an EG1 on your bar right next to it, and you can still mess up espresso. Espresso is super finicky, and if you really don't understand extractions and TDS and all that fun stuff, which is in our last episode,
Check it
you
out.
should go listen to it.
Go
Check it
listen
out.
to it.
Then you're kind of lost. It's like, okay, what am I tasting? Blah blah. Lewis, where did you start in making learning about espresso and making it better at home?
I think for me, it was. I mean, you have to start by, again, it's like learning what you like and what's good and what's bad. And I think your definition on what you prefer answers that question. I think where I started was just trying to be consistent with a coffee. So I just ordered a 12-ounce bag and I was like, I'm going to dial this one bag in to my preference, obviously. But I just, time is the one thing that I focused on. I didn't have any puck prep, I just had my hand grinder and my espresso machine. And I still, we had a lot of really good shots on
Yeah.
that Breville, and it was awesome. I think once I got, and I think that setup would work for a majority of people. Like it makes really good espresso. I think,
Sidecar started on that setup,
yeah,
so
put
that's
some
yeah, that
respect on it,
answers.
man.
Yeah. I think for the home, I think going into cafes is a really big help. This goes back to asking the barista behind the bar, sparking the conversation. I find that people do this for pour overs and wanting better pour overs at home, but no one asks about espresso. And I think more baristas are knowledgeable on espresso than they would be for pour overs. Because sometimes in a cafe, you get some baristas that are like, "I'm not touching the pour over station." Like that's this one guy who always does it. So I think going in asking like what your dose is, how much you're pulling out. What do you look for in espresso? In an espresso if, from a cafe is a really good starting point, but also just playing around, being able to just by understand that you're gonna go through a lot of shots in a bag of coffee, and a lot of them are not gonna be good. So buy like a 12-ounce bag milk blend, realize that you're gonna go through about 6 ounces of it, and have really bad shots. But you have to find. You have to tune everything up. So finding your grind range on
And
your espresso or grinder.
this isn't something that you should hear and be like, "Oh, I'm never gonna do it. I'm not gonna be able to pull a good shot." At the end of the day, if it's not a perfect shot, you're still gonna enjoy it. I would say 80% of the shots I pull at home are not perfect. They're
Yeah,
good.
I just let that go.
They're good, but
Yeah, they're all right.
like it's still enjoyable. The coffee's still good. Even if the finish is a little astringent, or I pulled it for a little bit too long, or maybe I need to try a different dose next time, I'm still enjoying the shot. And I think that's the biggest part, is understanding that you're not going to get that picture perfect shot every single time. You can get close, and if you really want to, you can take three shots and dial it in. But honestly, it's kind of fun, like with my machine, and especially with the amount of coffee I have right now. Recently, I've had Caleb has sent me a lot of Sudeds leftovers. I also went up for Coffee Fest and got all of Comet's leftovers.
Oh my gosh.
So I've been trying a lot of coffees recently, and the more coffees you pull in your setup, the more you'll kind of get better at dialing in coffee. So I know generally for a light roast, Wash Columbia, where I should be at, or in Ethiopia or Kenya, Guatemala, roughly to get a decent shot. Sorry, my throat is like so dry, dude.
You're good. Drink that water.
And with that, I'm pulling shots. They're not perfect, but they're still good espresso. And it's been really fun just
Yeah.
pulling different shots and trying different coffees on espresso.
Give yourself grace. Like it I think too, like I will let so much go at home because I'm not focused as much as I am behind the bar. It's kind of the same thing with like a Michelin star chef will go home and make himself ramen after a shift. Like it's just you want home to be enjoyable and you want home to kind of be chill.
Well, it's
So like,
I think it's the standards, you know? It's like I'm
yeah.
not being held to a standard. I'm not the customer isn't analyzing
I'm the
this.
one drinking it. Yeah, I can let some things go. I
And at the
know
end of the
that.
day, it's not like it's garbage, you know? I'm not drinking battery
Yeah.
acid. It's still a good shot. It's just like it's
There
just
are a few
slightly.
shots that I'll dump and like redo if it's bad enough, but like if it's like I didn't turn off the machine at like 45 and it's at like 48, or I, you know, and maybe it's like at 20 seconds and the last time it was at like 26, I'm still gonna try it. It's still pretty good. I
100%.
think though, for
I think
those
it's
who have
definitely
not,
something to have fun with at the end of the day.
yeah. I think for those who have not gotten into espresso and are kind of using this as like a, should I buy an espresso machine? This is something that pretty much any industry professional will say. I think this is what Scott said on his, on our episode too, is like, do you want another hobby? Like it is a, like we've said multiple times, a huge rabbit hole. But if you're looking at getting into it and you're like, yeah, I want to do it, invest in your grinder.
Grinder is the most important part.
Get a good machine, obviously, like, but you can get like a $200, $150 to $200 espresso machine. You could even get the Flair. That's just a lever that you pour water into and it'll pull really fantastic espresso, but you can't do it without the grinder that'll give you a good range for espresso, or that will actually be able to hold up to grinding that fine. So maybe the $50 Amazon grinder that Caleb in the past previously bought is not a good idea
Hey, but
for espresso. But humble beginnings, you know?
little sidecar recommendation. But yeah, so I would say for sidecar, at least for me, espresso has been something that I've fallen in love with, and gotten addicted to. It is a really fun process for me, and a really fun way to taste coffees in a different light. Caleb, with home espresso, what have you been up to recently?
I've been trying out some stuff. So over at the Suited, I have been inspired by a guy. His name is Manny. He owns Superhet that just recently opened up in Harlem, here in Harlem. And there he has been taking this idea of pushing extraction on specifically Say coffees because they're so lightly roasted. I'm sure it would work for some other roasters, but Say is the one that we've just been focusing on now. With Say coffee specifically, when you're doing a traditional like 1 to 2, 1 to 2.5 ratio, and you're getting in like the 26 to 32 second window, there's something about it. It's like it just tastes really savory. It's not
I kind of
even
get that a little
necessary.
bit. I kind of get that with
Yeah,
my shot a little bit.
it's not even that it's necessarily under extracted. Like it would be really, it would be, we always recommend at Suited, like when people are looking at Say and they're looking for a coffee for espresso specifically, we ask them what they have brewed in the past, because if they haven't really brewed Say is not forgiving at all to brew. It is very, very finicky. We're often changing the grind size on our shots at Suited like 3 or 4 times a day. With like our espresso one option is always a Say coffee. It's what we have on drip. And so with Say coffees, I've been pushing extraction by just going really, really fine. And I'm talking like think fine and go finer. And then really low doses. I'm talking like 15.5 to 16 gram doses, 55 grams out. All within the time window. And this is where earlier when I said time doesn't matter, this has really instilled that. Like time does not matter. The time window being like 55 to like 115 seconds.
Which is insane.
Shot
But
times.
again,
It's kind of
I did
nuts.
try this at my home and it was a fantastic shot. Really interesting. And again, that's something with espresso that is just There's so many things you can do with it. It is this gigantic rabbit hole, but it's fantastic and so much fun.
What have you been playing with at home?
I've been messing around with that, like taking just messing around with pressures a little bit more and trying to those smaller ratios of 1 to 2 in about like 30-ish seconds, 30, 33-ish seconds for 1 to 2, and just trying to highlight like complexity and sweetness. And that's been really, really fun, especially with like the Moxie coffee, was really good. The La Bonita from Guatemala, delicious. The unblended coffee from,
Oh, the
wow, I'm blanking on the on your roastery's name.
preface?
Preface, yes. The Preface Translot.
Transformation lot.
Transformation lot has been fantastic. Sorry, I keep coughing. My throat is ridiculous.
He partied hard
And
this weekend. A little
right?
Soulard action
No.
with World of T-Shirts himself.
No, I did not meet
I'm
that
just
guy.
kidding.
And yeah, that's what I've been messing around with is just that. I think it's just been a lot of fun, man. I've been loving espresso recently.
I think some good outlets for resources on home espresso. Check out James Hoffman. I think
I
he does a
think
fantastic job at really
Lance has
making it
definitely helped
digestible.
me. Yeah.
Yeah, Lance is kind of the next step if you have the bandwidth. This is exactly like Scott Rayo said. If you have the bandwidth to really take time, watch a Lance video. They're kind of longer, and he talks a lot and really gets into the nitty gritty of espresso. And any coffee, anything. Brian Kwan has some decent videos out there of like different espresso videos. He's more of a gear guy, so like he's kind of recommending gear, but it's great to learn about gear because that you might want to put it on your setup. And then Kyle Russell has some good stuff too. So he owns September Coffee. Highly recommend.
But yeah,
But yeah,
so
home espresso is weird. Home espresso is hard. Home espresso is a hobby,
but
and
it's also a lot of fun, really
it's an investment
rewarding
too. Yeah,
and
really rewarding.
great to expand your coffee knowledge and experience. But also at the same time, going to different cafes and doing all of that is awesome as well.
I think too, doing
100%.
espresso at home will up your standards for cafes. You really won't realize, how bad espresso can get until you start doing it yourself and messing up and tasting those shots. And then when you taste bad shots at cafes, you're like, oh, this definitely channeled or something. You start understanding like what's happening in the puck and in the basket.
Yeah, which is
And then you're
awesome.
like, oh, this is not good. So,
So yeah, that sidecar's take on espresso.
we did
Hopefully we did a good
it.
job. Hopefully we did
This
a good
was
job.
take number three on this episode. So
It's
hopefully educational. This was
hopefully this was
informative.
helpful at all. Hopefully we
Yeah, helpful.
offered some help. Yeah, I think espresso this year, I think for us in the past year, has been something that we've both really, really started to dive into, and giving the opportunity to do that within our careers. And yeah, we'll continue to update you guys throughout. I bet we'll probably release another
Yeah, we
kind of
will.
like brewing preference or espresso video. And maybe we'll get someone that's a little bit more qualified to talk about it as well, which would be
Who's
crazy.
to say?
But yeah, so coming up for Sidecar, we got some really cool collab episodes coming up and some awesome interviews that will be something to look forward to on the horizon. So yeah,
It's gonna be cool.
keep your eyes peeled on that Spotify. And yeah, we appreciate you guys listening to this episode.
Especially if you made it this far. Wow.
Exactly.
But
But
thank
yeah,
you for
I
listening.
need to stop talking before I dry up my freaking I'm gonna die.
Oh no, Lewis is dying. All right, guys. Bye.